century ago. You said you were leaving, I didn't believe you. Goodbye, things that don't change, waking in the morning. Minnesota singer-songwriter Mason Jennings has been performing for almost two decades. Over the years, he's recorded for record labels run by Jack Johnson and Isaac Brock from the band Modest Mouse. For his latest record, called Always Been, Mason Jennings recruited Iowa music veteran Bo Ramsey to produce. He stopped by Iowa Public Radio earlier this fall to talk about the record. I'm Clay Masters. You're listening to a special conversation with singer-songwriter Mason Jennings on IPR's Studio One. When your heart gets cold in the temple, it starts looking around. Look what we found, look what we found, look what we found, honey. Don't it taste so sweet? Look what we found, look what we found, look what we found, honey. Don't it taste so sweet? Don't it taste so sweet? As the music industry continues to become more accessible globally, you still identify yourself very much as a Midwesterner from Minnesota. Tell me a little bit about what your life in Minnesota, your life as a father, as a husband, lends to your writing.
Well, for me, it's just a really grounding place to live. That's where, I mean, I grew up in Pittsburgh, but I moved to Minneapolis in 1994, and that was the first thing I really liked about it, was I just felt really good there, you know, and there's this sort of confluence of real extreme wilderness with northern Minnesota, with just the sophisticated art scene and just tons of venues for original music. So it's this neat sort of balance between, you know, I can take this creative work into a society in the Midwest that's really, you know, appreciative of that kind of thing. And then I could, you know, go back to my house where I live, where there's owls having babies in my yard, you know, and there's coyotes at night. And that really grounds me, because when I think about going to Los Angeles or New York, I really have trouble, like, energetically. There's just so many different frequencies going on out there that it's hard to tune into my own.
You've gotten a lot of attention from other well-known musicians, Isaac Brock from Modest Mouse and Jack Johnson. You've been recruited to be on their labels. Mm-hmm. But yet you still are largely approaching your music in a do-it-yourself manner. Why is that?
Well, I don't, you know, for me, I think when it comes down to the center of it, it's not really an entertainment. I'm not really in the entertainment business, I think. It's more of a healing or a medicinal feeling thing for me. Because when I look back on music, the stuff that really, really, really sticks with me, like Greg Brown's music, you know, or like Johnny Cash's later records, they're the ones that I turn to when I was really struggling in life. And, you know, or it's similar to, like, a, you know, why people would go to church. You know, I go to the music because I feel connected to something greater than myself. So that's really the guiding force of my music, is somehow to tap into that, the great spirit in it, you know. And when I'm doing that, I feel like it's going to take me wherever I go. You know, it's going to take me wherever it wants me to go. And if I'm open to that, it's probably not going to be something that's necessarily going to be something marketable. You know, it's going to change too much. It's too, you know, unpredictable, really.
If there's a central theme to your music over the years, it seems to be this exploration of strength and hope. But back in 2009, you put out a record called Blood of Man, and it was a pretty dark record. That was the summer Dave's girlfriend OD, she died in the bathroom at a party down the street. Were you trying to purge something there so you could move forward?
I don't know. You know, part of it was I had just gotten a studio. You know, I sort of, growing up, I did all these demo recordings on my own. I had a four track, and I learned how to play all the different instruments. So I would just sort of make records on my own every day. I'd play all the instruments on it, and that was sort of this thing I did, you know, to make sense out of the world and taking in so much input. And this was sort of my way of, like, having output and a creative, you know, practice for me. And I kind of steered away from that for a few years. And then when I got this studio again, I thought, oh, I'm going to try working like this on my own in the woods and play all the instruments and just make these recordings. And something about doing it that way must have brought up those just a real freedom of expression in that way, where I wasn't having to like look across the table at anybody else when I was making these songs. It was just, I'd record it, and then, yeah, a lot of them were pretty dark. When I hear that sound and put the pedal down, I wound up that fall in a hospital on the suicide wing with a lot of people thinking one thing. And I recorded a lot more songs. A lot of them weren't so dark, but when we went back to what, you know, when I make a record, I look, you know, I might make 20 songs, and then we look at, like, what's the main expression, what's the main gesture of the record. And, well, really on that record, I think it's just really, really a lot of polarity. Like, there's really dark darks and really light lights, and so there's a lot of contrast.
With this new record, Always Been, mm-hmm. what were you hoping to accomplish with this record, or what did you accomplish with this record?
Yeah, for me, this is, you know, after working in the woods, you know, to go forward 4 years from Blood of Man, I worked in the woods a lot by myself for all these years, and I you know, I kind of hit a place where I felt like I had sort of hit a wall a little bit, where I had recorded so many songs by myself, and I was like sitting in the woods by myself one day, and I was like, this is not working for me right now. You know, I got to get around other human beings, and I really, on a few of my tours, people kept coming up to me and saying, wow, your voice sounds so great live, and on the records, your records are pretty lo-fi, and I never really get the full spectrum of like your voice and all the tones. And I started thinking about that, and I thought, well, yeah, that's probably true, because in recording myself mostly and recording so lo-fi, you do miss out on part of that. So I thought, oh, it'd be fun to try a record sometime where I just focus on my vocal performances and focus on getting a group of people around me to really make sure that the sonic quality of the record really supports the vocals. Long ago and far away, I was born on your birthday, dreaming of the day that you'll be mine. Far away and long ago, I knew then and I still know, dreaming of the day that you'll be mine. Dreaming, dreaming, dreaming of the day that you'll be mine. Dreaming, dreaming, dreaming of the day that you'll be mine. So that's kind of what this was focused on, is, you know, instead of writing songs and recording them right away, I wrote songs and recorded them onto a cassette tape. Just vocals and guitar until I had this full cassette tape full of songs, just focusing on the songs, you know, not the recordings. And after that, you know, I hired Bo Ramsey because I think he's a really good producer at really getting great vocal takes. And so that was sort of the main idea. Dreaming, dreaming, dreaming of the day that you'll be mine. Now we can laugh at the sound of our luck going downtown. Who could be happier still than the one in your arms will be? No one could be happier.
And there's a lot of Iowa on the record, too.
A ton, yeah. You know, growing, you know, the last 20 years of my life, I've listened to so much music from Iowa. I mean, Greg Brown is probably my favorite songwriter, and then also like Iris DeMent, just, you know, maybe my favorite singer, and then Pieta Brown and the Pines. I mean, I love so much of this music, and that's why I thought of Bo Ramsey, because his name is on the back of so many of those great records. And then we ended up, you know, I was asking him, I said, do you think Pieta Brown and Iris DeMent would be up for singing on this? And he's like, I can ask them, you know. So he asked them, and they both were into doing it. So they both sang on a few songs, and then guys from the Pines played on it.
And some of those singers appear on a song I want to talk about, inspired by punk legend Patti Smith. What inspired the song Patti and Robert?
Patti and Robert, I was playing a show at Carnegie Hall, and it was one of those shows where it was a Neil Young tribute, where maybe 20 artists get together and each do a Neil Young song. And it was Aaron Neville and, you know, Jacob Dylan and all these different people. And I sang a song called Red Sun, and I came off stage, and I was I was like, man, that was so fun. And then I started thinking, I'm like, I think I might have played that song like way too slow because I was thinking so hard about being on stage and enjoying being on Carnegie Hall. And I was getting in my mind when I was off stage thinking like, oh, I think I blew it, you know. And all of a sudden this woman is tugging on my sleeve and I look and it's a woman that worked at Carnegie Hall. And she's like, Mr. Jennings, Patti Smith is asking for you. And I'm like, what? Like, really? Like, it's far out. Like, I had no idea. And she's like, yeah, come with me, please. So we went down this long hallway and there was Patti, and she was just so smiley. You know, I'm such a big fan, and then she was just so joyful and smiley, which you don't really get from pictures of her. And she's just so warm and was like, I loved your song. And she was just really, really, really cool. And we had a nice long talk. And on the plane ride home from New York, I saw that she had written this book, Just Kids. And I picked it up and read it and was just so moved about, it's about her relationship with the photographer, Robert Mapplethorpe.
Patti was a noticer, she noticed and she fell. She watched mountains rise from poetry, she did not climb, she knelt down when she recognized her gifts could not be earned. And that knowledge brought her kindness and humility to learn. I feel the beauty that you bring, and it stirs my heart, it makes me sing. I sing a song that's always been, always been.
You know, they just seemed like they just had this true love, you know, and they were lovers, but then he was gay too, so it was just really, you know, slowly she just, their relationship evolved from, it was like almost deeper than just lovers. It was like this really connected feeling, and something about it really inspired me. The idea of just that connection, like maybe they'd always been connected.
Even though he got so sick, I hear the story that you tell, and it gives me strength, it makes me well.
I started thinking of that idea of time and relationships, and is there a beginning to the relationships, or are there relationships out there that are so important that have just always been there before you even meet in this lifetime? And so I got thinking about that a lot, and just inspired by the fact that, you know, he died, and she, you know, said that she would write the story of their love, and then she couldn't do it for a while, and then she wrote this book that's just so moving. And I think of, it makes me feel like the real true value of every human being, really, when you get down to it, of like how big an impact every single person can have in this world.
Oh, baby, look all your pain, come on, give it all to me. Oh, baby, look all your pain, come on, give it all to me. Oh, baby, look all your pain, come on, give it all to me. Oh, baby, look all your pain, come on, give it all to me.
I remember I went into a meeting at Borders Bookstore, like when Borders used to be around and sell music, and there was the talk to the head people at Borders, and they're like, we love your music, but we don't know how to describe it so people will buy it without hearing it. Like, who do you sound like? You have to give us two artists that you sound like a combination of. And I said, really? Like, and they say, yeah, that's how we sell our music. That's how you sell music, is you got to have like a phrase and two artists you sound like. So I was flying home from the meeting just feeling bad, and I'm like, I shouldn't feel bad about that. Like, I don't know. Like, that's not my job to figure out who I sound like. It's the opposite of that. So I kind of just sort of tuned that out. And
so you never gave him two artists?
I never gave him two, which has been funny over my career. Like, even when I was working with Iris DeMent on this record, she looked at me and she goes, I keep thinking, you sound like, and then I go, nope, you don't sound like that. Oh, you sound like, nope, you don't sound like him either. And I said, yeah, that's been the story of my life, is I'll play a show and 10 people will come up to me and be like, you remind me of this person. And then all 10 say different people. And that's kind of fun.
Well, that's a good problem to have, I
guess.
There
you go. Yeah.
A lot of your music is very positive. But how do you walk that line of positive, hopeful writing without getting overly sentimental?
Yeah, totally. That's the trick, right? I don't know. I mean, part of it for me is when I write a song, if it sticks with me, I can tell. Like if it's one of those ones that sticks with me and feels good in my chest, usually it has some other balancing aspect to it. And there's some that I write that I'm like, oh, that might be too airy. But for part of me is like, you know, when I'm writing like joyful songs, which I think that's a challenging thing to do without, you know, those are the ones you want to kill right away. Like you have these little like happy things and you're like, oh, this is going to be made fun of, you know? So it's vulnerable to be playful in songs and joyful. But I think if you really have the true spirit of play, like that, the spirit of play, like that full expansive, you know, connected to the infinite, like that childlike playfulness in there, there's going to be darkness in there. There's going to be violence. There's going to be an undercurrent of like, changing, like everything's always changing. It's that, you know, when you see kids really, really playing, it's like, it's pretty intense, you know? So there's a balance trying to keep playful and joyful, but also have that underlying, like, Lord of the Flies thing in there too, a little bit.
And all the expectations we put upon ourselves to be things our parents never would. How could we have been so shook in the wilderness? Just trying our best. Stay free.
Singer-songwriter Mason Jennings talking about his new record, Always Been, in Iowa Public Radio's Des Moines studios earlier this fall.